Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Let's pray together before we read. James chapter 3 is where we are today, James 3. Lord, we're here. It's interesting how the scriptures say that you seek followers that tremble at your word. What mean, take it seriously. Here we are, Lord. We believe that the Bible is your gift to the human race, that it's your exact record that you intended us to have. We believe that holy men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We believe that all scripture, as Paul said, is God-breathed. Here we are. Take the words of our brother James that you made sure he wrote and speak to us today, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. James chapter 3, verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Man. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water come from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. Really quite a portion of scripture. Well, Ed and I played golf this week. I know it's strange that you'd think your pastor would play golf, but he did. It was Friday morning. It was the crack of dawn. It was, 6-something we teed off. And after it was all over, we met some guys while we were walking out. And he had this old dude, older, well, I don't know if he's older than me. He is an old dude, too. And in his cart, I saw all the head covers on his clubs. This old guy had $2,500 in golf equipment. He looked the part, but I wondered, can he hit it? Can he get that little white ball in that hole? Can he do that? I wonder. He sure looked the part. Or my buddy. This guy can't play guitar, but he saved his money, and he put stuff on layaway down the street here. And for those of you who are guitar players, he bought a reissue 58 Tele, Fender Telecaster, killer guitar, along with a beautiful new twin reverb amp. I mean, this is a big deal. And this is also $3,000, okay? So we got him out a couple weeks ago. He said, man, can I bring my guitar over and show it to you? I said, sure. He brings me and shows me his guitar. I said, play me something. He said, I don't know how yet. Okay. I said, you spent $3,000 and you don't know how yet? No, man, but I look good, don't I? He had it hanging. Looking good, don't I? Looking good. Well, it's easy to get caught up in appearances. It's easy to become a Christian and kind of fall into the appearances of being a Christian. And that would be like being involved in ministry stuff and maybe, I don't know, being on, you know, having a position and responsibilities and those kind of things, you know, so that we feel like we're serving the Lord. You know, the Bible turns all that stuff on its head and takes us back to the basics. And maybe you feel this way when it comes to your mouth, your tongue, what you say. Are you kind of out of control? Do you say things you shouldn't? And I'm not talking when you hit your finger with a hammer. 31 years ago, we built our deck. Little next-door neighbor kid. Tommy came over and watched me work on my deck. I said, "What are you doing?" "I want to hear what you say when you hit your thumb." That's what he said to me. Well, my dad says, "Bleep and bleep and bleep." And I just wanted... I said, "You shouldn't say those words. Your dad did, but you shouldn't say those." Anyhow, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the way we speak about and to other people. "You ought to go in my basement." "No, I tell you what, my wife would not let you in my basement. It's a wreck, man. I'm telling you what, we had all these, you know, our moms and dads had been passing away, and there's so much stuff we can't let go of, and so we pack it in the basement. And I have this extensive antique woodworking tool collection. It's kind of like, it's been more of a museum the last years because I haven't done much with it. I got, you know, one or two guitar cases down there too, if you can imagine. And I went down the other day, and I know I need to get started, but it's such a mess. I don't know where to start. Do you feel that way about your life and about the way you talk? Are you that so out of control that you don't know where to begin? Well, our boy James here tells us where to begin. He focuses us in on something. In verse 2, he says, "We all stumble in many ways," an understatement. "But if anyone is never at fault in what they say, they are perfect people, able to keep the whole body in check." You know what? If we concentrate on what we say, it's going to make an effect on our lives. We need to start focusing in on this. We just got to focus on this very simple thing, that we are all sinners and that we all need the Savior who died for us and was raised from the dead. And from that flows a change in our lives in two ways. I'm going to go back to Ephesians, just a few books back. Ephesians chapter 4. Let me just read you Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to read to you verses 28 and 29. Get this. Our lives are going to change when we come to Christ, okay? "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands that he may have something to share with those in need." Okay, that's good. So we're going to do things differently. But here's the other thing. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." There's two changes in our lives that the Lord wants to bring into our lives. First, in the way we do. He wants to remove some things from our lives. He wants us to make some healthy choices now that we know Him and have been forgiven. But then there's doing something. But the other thing is, He wants us to change our speech. Quit talking like that about and to other people. We always talk about walking the talk, right? Well, James is telling us we also need to talk the walk, okay? Get it backwards. We need to walk the talk, and we also need to talk the walk. We're not having Chinese. It sounds like that, I know, but we're not. There's two parts to it. It's not just what we do. It is what we say. Somebody can say to you, "Oh, man, you're old, all talk." Well, you got half of it, okay? Good, that's half. We need to be speaking differently. It's really important. We need to talk right. These pastors were having a luncheon. We have a pastor's luncheon that we all get together for. It's pretty exciting. But these pastors got together, and they decided they were going to turn into a confessional meeting because they didn't know who to confess to. Because if they confessed to stuff, they'd lose their job. So the first pastor said, "Okay, I'll go first. I've been stealing money out of the offering. I know it's wrong. I don't know what to do. I need you guys to pray for me, but I need to tell somebody. I need to be accountable." Second guy says, "I know what you mean, man. You know, mine isn't stealing money from the offering. I've been going off the casino trying to hit it big. These people shouldn't know I gamble." Third guy says, "You know, I get so stressed out, I drink way too much." Fourth guy says, "You know, my problem is gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here." So the principle, get the principle. The principle is, if you can change your talk, you can change your life. That's a big deal. So, I want you to look at the power of the tongue, will you? Beginning in verse 3. "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large, are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go." Very interesting. It also says in verse 6, The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. And verse 5 says, likewise, the tongue, a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. It's very interesting that the writer of Proverbs 18:21 would say this. The tongue holds the power of life and death. Now look, I know there's people that take the teaching on the tongue and they act like we can recreate reality by just saying stuff, confessing it, okay? That's taking it way too far, but I am telling you this. If God helps you change your talk, you're going to change your life. Let me show you what I mean. First of all, a bit in a horse's mouth. Did I ever tell you that I was a member of the 4-H Club in Oxford for about 10 minutes once? Did I tell you? Maybe it was a month. I am not a horseman. I'm not really an outdoorsman, but they had these really cute girls in that 4-H club, and I said, I'm learning to ride a horse. That's all I can tell you. I was amazed, though. This little girl that I was following around like a puppy, her dad raised quarter horses in Oxford, and they are beautiful animals. You know, being a city boy, I was so amazed at the beauty and the power of them. My dad used to take us to Lexington, Kentucky. We went to the farm where Secretariat was owned and raised, and saw his statue and saw those incredible million-dollar horses when I was a kid. Amazing, amazing animals. But even more amazing that these incredible, beautiful, and powerful animals are controlled by one little bit in their mouth. It was amazing to me to ride. They showed me how to put pressure with my legs on the horse and use the bit in the mouth to steer. In fact, after they realized that you could do that, all you had to do was give them a little pressure and they'd go. They didn't even have to be in their mouth. It's amazing how they could control that. I want to tell you something. Your mouth is going to steer, has been your whole life, and is going to continue to steer your life. If you speak trash, your life is going to be trash. If you speak blessing, your life is going to be blessed. That tongue is taking you where you don't want to go. I told you I was going to my brothers in Switzerland. Just down the street from them is the train station. You don't need a car. I was supposed to go and meet them because they got up like in the middle of the night to go to school, and I was going to go meet them to get it to, at the school where the one niece was studying speech pathology. Ah, interesting, speech pathology on this sermon. Anyhow, I got on the wrong train because I don't speak German, and I made a wrong guess at what train I was supposed to get on. And I realized I was going in the complete wrong direction. It was taking me where I didn't want to go. So I had to stop, next station, get off, flip around, and come back to make my way to where I was supposed to go back to the university. It's about time we get off the old mouth train here, don't you think? Start heading in the right direction instead of the wrong one. I'm telling you, it'll take you where you don't want to go. It directs your life. Here's another thing. It also can destroy your life. It says that it's a fire, and this whole world and the lives of everyone around you is a tinderbox. And if we keep shooting out sparks, we're going to burn it down. It can happen in churches, in communities, and of course in families. We can burn it down, destroy relationships. You know how many condominium presidents of the board end up selling their condos and moving after a few meetings? That's why. We can burn it down. Did you ever notice that Jeff Foxworthy is doing the Smokey the Bear commercials? If you said the same thing for 75 years, you just might be Smokey the Bear. Okay, only you can prevent forest fire. Well, only you can prevent burning your life and the lives of everybody around you down. And it's about time we all take responsibility for our mouths. What we say, it just is so devastating. You've heard the old story of the man that realized he'd been slandering his friends. And so he went to his priest and confessed to his priest and asked his priest what he should do. And the priest told him, okay, I want you to take a feather and put it on the front step of every house in the village. And he went and did it. Next day he came back and told the priest, I've done what you've asked. He said, okay, now go collect them. And the wind had blown them everywhere and he couldn't retrieve them. That's how our words work. They go off into the world. You remember every negative word ever said to you. Every little girl when you were in school that told you you were fat or that your nose was too big or that you walked funny. I don't know. That went right to the soul of who you still are today. And many of us here are still battling what was said to us. That, do you see how powerful this is? It can just burn it down. It can burn down our lives. My next door neighbor, Steve, isn't a Christian. He still claims to be an agnostic. Now that means that you think God exists, you just don't know that you can actually know him. Okay. Well, we had this Girl Scout camp in Clarkston that's now a big subdivision. And Steve, who was our fire chief at the time, was in charge of the control burn of that main building. And there had been a satanic coven that had been meeting in that for a few years. And when they came to burn the building down, that coven of witches were out there calling down curses on the fire department. And Steve controlled the burn. He said he put the accelerant in the kitchen of this area, which was straw, okay? And he got everybody in position, and he lit it. And when he walked across 30 feet across the room to go out the door, he looked black, and that flame was not going anywhere else except reaching across the room to him. And then, a few nights later, he knocked on my door, sweating. He said, "Tommy, what the heck is this?" And he showed me the photos of the control burn with all of the demonic faces in the fire. It was really weird. I don't know what we're going to do with it. I mean, that happened years ago, and I don't talk about those kind of things very much. But I'm telling you, there is a fire within the tongue that is put on fire by hell. How Satan wants to use you to reach to the lives of others and hurt them. I mean, it happened. There is great, great power. Where does this come from? Why is it I can't shut up? Why is it that I think I have to say everything in my brain? Why is it I don't have a filter hardly anymore? Why is that? Here you go. Verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. All of us have two natures. All of us have two natures. The new nature from trusting in Christ, the old nature of the fallen person that we still are in so many ways. Now we're struggling with those two natures. I'm going to go back to Ephesians for just a moment. I want to read this again to you, this portion I read just a little while ago. It says, "Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths except what is beneficial to those who hear it, that it may benefit those who listen." That is very, very true. Let me go to Colossians. Where does this stuff come from? Is it chapter 3, verse 8? "But now you must rid yourselves." Did you hear that? That's your part. That's your part, my part. "You must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander," and my translation says filthy language. It's not talking about cursing, saying words like we think of when we think curse. We're thinking about attacking abusive words to other people. All right? So you see the two things: slander and abusive language. It happens. It happens all the time. Slander or gossip is to speak about others to harm them or their reputations. Abusive language is to humiliate and demean others. Why does that stuff come out of our mouths? Oh, you know when it'll really come out is when you're with your kids and you're tired. But why is it our filters get so thin and we have trouble controlling ourselves? Well, according to Colossians, you must get rid of anger, rage, and malice. That is unresolved anger, stuff that we have not forgiven, not let go of, and not dealt with. We have unresolved stuff in our lives, and that keeps us churning and spewing on other people or about other people. Unresolved. This anger can drive our lives from time to time. So let me tell you, where do we go? I mean, it's true of all of us. What do we do? Two things. It's really simple. You need to go two places. First of all, we need to go to God. The Bible tells us to forgive as God has forgiven us in Christ. Freely forgive. Now, first of all, we've been forgiven. those who have experienced the free gift of eternal life, salvation, forgiveness from Jesus Christ, has the power, we have the power to now let go of those who have wronged us. And there's another reason to let go of it too. If you won't let go of it, you're going to carry that thing around forever and that person still controls you. Don't let them control you anymore. Leave them to God and forgive it and let it go to God and talk to Him. Listen, you need to get more of the grace of God and face, we all need to face how we're just sinners. We are, seriously, I get along with God and I just realize how wonderful He is and how messed up I still am. Okay? That is a great place to be. Because that grace, that free love that He gives us, because He died for us and took our shame and our place and our penalty, gives us the power to let that other stuff go. Go to God. Second of all, go to the people you have wronged. Go to the people you have wronged. Oh, you don't understand. I was just frustrated. I was trying to get these people to get something done. You know, I don't have patience for these kind of things. Well, you better get it. Because what you say is dangerous to other people. Quit spewing poison. Boy, he's really positive today, isn't he? But it's so true. It is just so true. Go to them, confess it, and get right with them. Get right with God. Get right with them. You say, well, I've hurt them so badly. Okay, you have, but people are resilient. They want to be angry at you. Go give them a real problem by confessing it and asking them to forgive you. Then they got to start dealing. It's the only way we get rid of all this stuff is by confessing and repenting of it. I want you to think agriculture with me. When we think of stuff, you know, we live here in Michigan. This is all about, you know, producing product, automobiles, things that move, things that work. And we think about putting things together. I don't want you to think about that. I want you to think as a farmer for a minute. And I'm going to read to you Proverbs 18 one more time. 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. Now, let me read you the rest of the verse. You ready for this? And those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you see? You're planting stuff. And the Bible says whatever we sow, we reap. Whatever you plant is going to grow. I wish that was true of my lawn. But in this case, whatever you plant grows. So if we understand it, if we love the fact that we can build others in our own lives with our mouths, one day we will eat the fruit of that. Do you see how good that is? Stand with me to pray, will you? Let's all stand up together. Father, the great thing about being the preacher is that you get to repent before church. But Father, all of us in this room need to rethink the way we speak to one another and why we speak the way we do. Father, we cover up our anger and bitterness and the previous humiliations that we've been through. We seem to have no patience, and we ask you to help us. We come to you and confess to you, Lord, that we still hold anger and bitterness deep in our craw, and we need you. We confess that it's sin, and we ask for your forgiveness and for your freedom from these things. And we ask that you would protect our families and help us now also to go to those that we have wronged with our mouth and straighten this out. May we make this right, Lord, so that we can be free. Father, it says no man can tame the tongue, but you can. And we offer it to you, our mouths, how we speak, how we relate. And we ask for your help and your blessing and for victory that we claim in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.